Any moment I'll be gone, for I have made my consecration, and I have my wedding garment. The soul will can never hold me. Any moment I'll be flying through the sky, for I am made my consecration, and I have my wedding garment. This old world can never hold me. Any moment I'll be gone, for I have made my consecration, and I have my wedding garment on. This old world never hold me. Any moment I'll be gone, for I am my consecration, and I have my wedding garment on.
Amen. God bless you. We greet you this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we wish you welcome in the house of the Lord, in the fellowship of the saints. And we're really thankful to see many faces we didn't see for a while. Brother, what's your name again, bro? Brother Joseph, God bless you. From Longford, yeah? Longford. Exactly, God bless you richly. Sister Rentia, God bless you. For Brother Tino and Jordan, God bless you. Welcome back, and we praise the Lord for the powerful testimony. And we believe that God will unveil himself in a more much powerful way in future for you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for granting us another good opportunity to meet one another in this house, O Lord, but most especially to meet you, because you have never missed your appointment. We are here because we know that you are behind your word, you are behind your promise to fulfill it, O Lord. When we are gathered in your name, you said you'd be there. Now that you are in our midst, O Lord, we are needy people. We are calling upon you, believing, Heavenly Father, that you know our hearts, believing, Heavenly Father, that you know the deepest desire of our hearts, O Lord. But most especially, give us, as we are standing in your presence, to really enjoy of your presence, to benefit from being in your presence, O Lord. Let us forget about ourselves, forget about the world and the things of this life, O Lord, but commit ourselves, spend this time, quality time with you. Oh, let us sing from our hearts, O Lord. Let us pray from the deepness of us, O Lord, and let us come out of this place refreshed and fulfilled, O Lord. We commit everything into your hands. Now that we are taking this few minutes for our Sunday school lesson, be with us, O Lord. Speak to our people, to your people. Speak through us, O Lord, and let your word become flesh in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's read Romans chapter 9. I think we got that. That's going to read from verse, a few verses there, from 1 to 8. Romans 9, 1 to 8. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertains the adoption and the glory and the covenant and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God has taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We had a few good Sunday school teachings for the past few weeks. We have enjoyed Brother Maxwell, Brother Wilmo, Brother David. Very good nuggets we have gleaned here and there. And personally, I was really blessed by those lessons. And you could feel that the Holy Ghost was really, conveying something to his people. So let's really remain in the atmosphere of, surrender and yielding to him, and he will really speak to your soul. Amen. I believe there are still many things to be said, and I could see the brethren being, tied by time, Personally, I like to live, I believe in the freedom of the Holy Ghost, When the Holy Ghost wants to speak to his people, let it speak. I don't think in organizing the Holy Ghost, tying Holy Ghost in 3 weeks, You Holy Ghost, you have to speak for 3 weeks and that's it. If, there's still something to say, I believe that God wants to speak to his people. And you can feel that when you are trying to stop the Holy Ghost, something is wrong. And even the congregation is not blessed. Because there's still some teaching, there's still some resources that God wants to convey. So honestly, I believe if you have 10 weeks, go for 10 weeks. If you have 1 week, go for 1 week. Because don't try to push it as well, to stretch it as well. It's going to become a human program. But I believe that where there's the Spirit of God, there's freedom. And we shouldn't organize the Holy Ghost. Amen. I don't mean I have 10 weeks of teachings. Amen. But I was just meditating about a topic. Honestly, I don't know what direction it's going to take. I was telling my wife when I was coming, I don't know yet how to take it, what direction the Lord will lead it. Honestly, I'm just yielding to the leadership of the Holy Ghost, and I don't know what really, because this thought has kept me for quite some time. I just wanted to talk about the children of the promise. Amen. So there's so many things that can be said there. It can take many directions, but I'm just yielding to the Lord and see what he wants his people to know. So yesterday, Brother Lubanza was sending greetings. We visited him, so he sent the greetings to the church. So where we read there, we see Paul expressing his concern regarding his people, regarding his, countrymen, the Israelites, showing that they were know, they were destined to some, to access some blessing. They were destined to be the, you know, the heir of whatever God has fulfilled in that age. But Paul could see that his people missed the blessing of God. When you read in verse 4, he said, "Who are Israeli, to whom pertains the adoption and the glory and the covenant and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promise?" So everything here, adoption, glory, you know, the promises, God had made them for those people who were calling themselves Israelites. And Paul could see that they've missed to partake of those promises. He has seen that they've failed to eat from the blessing which was meant to be theirs. Amen. Are you with me? So Paul is showing that it was Israel who was meant to get the adoption. It was Israel who was meant to be partaker of the glory that we are sharing today, because the Holy Ghost had come. Paul could see people entering the kingdom. But all those that were benefiting of the kingdom were not literally the Israel which were meant to be partakers of those promises. It was now other people. We were not even called of the name of the Lord. We were now being ushered into the kingdom. Paul could see that the promise was made to them, but how did they fail to eat of the fruit of the promise? Amen. From that thought, I wanted really if you can share of this topic of the children of the promise. Because literally Israel were meant to be the children of the promise. They were meant to be the, you know, partakers, the heir of all those promises, of the blessings, but they failed. And Paul is saying, not as though the word of God has taken no effect. It seems like what God said, it has failed. That was what Paul is showing, that they were meant to be the beneficiary of everything, of the kingdom. But it seems like the word of God has failed because they are not partaking of the blessing. What happened exactly? So Paul carried on to say, no, the blessing was made to Israel. But he said, for they are not all Israel, we are of Israel. Amen. Amen. The promise was made to Israel. But they were not the literal Israel, but there was a qualification to be considered as the true Israel and to partake of the promise. Amen. Amen. So that's why the nation of that time, Israel, it was looking as if the word of God had failed to do what it said it would do. Because the literal Israel was not beneficiary of the adoption, of the glory, of everything that was destined to be theirs. Are you with me? So Paul showing here that it was not the literal Israel, not all Israel, which are of Israel. So who are the true Israel now? He says, neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Amen. So he's showing that because the promise came from Abraham. And Israel being the descendant of Abraham, they should have benefited, they should have become the beneficiary of the promise. But he's showing that even from Abraham, not all the children of Abraham were heir of the promise. Even from his two children, one was a beneficiary, the other one was not a beneficiary. Amen. Showing that But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So of the two children, the only one who was the seed of Abraham was Isaac, not Ishmael. Amen. Why? Paul says, that is, they which are children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Of the two children of Abraham, Ishmael and Isaac, one was a child of a promise, and the other one was not a child of a promise. Amen. So the Paul says the seed was only those children who came from the promise. Amen. Is he okay? When it's your son, you have to. Amen. That's true. That's what happened even there in heaven. When a son fails, the heaven stops. What's happening there? My son is in trouble. Amen. So it's just a type of the truth. Amen. We have a caring father. Amen. So, am I making a bit clear here? Amen. Because I believe God is leading us. We are just laying a foundation today, and hopefully it will take us somewhere. It's showing that there were two children, but not the child of the flesh was not the child of the promise, but it was the other child. The child of the flesh was not the seed, but it was the child of the promise who was the child who was called as a seed. Amen. What makes the difference between the two children, Isaac and Ishmael? They were products of something. Isaac was a product of a promise, a believed promise. Amen. Ishmael was a product of a doubt in a promise. Are we getting there? There were two children. They were all literally the physical seed of Abraham. But they came, Isaac was the product of a word, a spoken word of God that someone believed, and it produced Isaac. Ishmael was a product of a spoken word of God that someone doubted. Amen. And it produced Ishmael. So we have now two seeds there. We have now two children which claim to be the children of Abraham. But Paul says, not all are the children of Abraham. Only a child of a promise. Because the promise, a believed promise, has in it the power to bring the spoken word of God into manifestation. Amen. Amen. So we are talking of the children of the promise. We have one child there who is called a child. He claimed to be a child of God, but he comes from unbelief. He's a product of unbelief in the word of God. And remember, in each generation, God has got is seeds that he wants to manifest. Amen. We'll get to that later. In every age, only children of the promise are called the children of God. Because when you see a manifested promise of God in your day, believing in that promise, that's what makes you a child of God. That's why Paul is going to say about the Israel in the times of his writing, that they were thinking to be the children of God. But they've seen a manifested promise of God in their day, and they failed to see it, and it made them to fall short of the blessing of God. So to be counted as the seed of God, they had to be a product of a fulfilled promise in their day. Because, remember, there's a power in a promise. Amen. A child of a promise is a product of a faith in something that has not been. You know, Abraham believed something that he didn't see. Amen. That faith produced something. Amen. Remember, there's always, there's a power in a promise. When someone you believe, someone you trust, make you a promise, it's going to even change your behavior. Amen. There's a power in a promise. That's why when God made the promise to Abraham, and Abraham believed the promise of God, it changed even his body. Amen. Amen. We are talking about the children of the promise. Abraham is the father, the first, you know, from whom we are drawing our faith. We saw that believing the promise of God changed even his body. Even in his natural, this natural life we're living, my brother, my sister, when someone makes you a promise, and especially if you believe that the person who made you the promise has the ability to fulfill the promise, it will change you. Simple example. When they give you a job and they say at the end of the month they're going to be paying you 10,000 euros and you believe in the company, it's a promise of money, it will change your sleep pattern. Am I right there? Yes. You are used to sleep until 11 a.m. You'll be waking up at 2 a.m. Is it time to go to work? 5 a.m. you are there. Everything. You are watching TV every day until 2 a.m. You'll start stopping at 9, 7 p.m. Why? Because there's a power in the promise. Amen. Amen. When you believe that the person who made the promise is able to fulfill the promise, it will transform you. Amen. 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 Are we together? Amen. When a girl have been given a promise by a man, by a boy that is going to marry her, I'm not talking to someone here. Amen. I don't want to look at faces. They know where they are. So when a girl, a woman, receives a promise that I will marry you, and if she believes that boy, she will be transformed. You will notice that something is happening in the life of this girl. Even in the house, she maybe starts daydreaming. The dad will say, I'll call my girl's name because I don't want to call someone else. Say, Carmel, what's happening? No, I'm here. What are you thinking of? No, I'm fine. You will see just that simple word that, would you marry me? Or I promise that I will take you as my wife. You will see in that girl, in that woman, they're going to be a change. Even in her behavior, even in her dressing, she will start, even her plans, her project, everything will change. Why? Because she's believing in a promise. And that promise has in it the power to transform that girl. She was used to going to, you know, some nightclubs, but she'll start now to learn about the man. What does he like? What does he want? And if she finds that he doesn't like people going to nightclubs, she will stop going to nightclubs. The boy didn't come and start shaking her, but it's just a word that he gives to the girl. And the girl believes the word. That's the key word. Believing in the word. She trusts the man. She believes what he said. And in that faith in that spoken word produced transformation. Amen. Amen. That's why Israel, they couldn't be partakers of that blessing
because they failed to accept the promise. Believe me, my brother, my sister, the power of transformation of the word of God is just in a spoken word. There's nothing, there's not a mechanic, there's no a machinery somewhere that will come and start pumping something into you to change you. The power of the spoken word can transform someone, can bring transformation in your life.
I'm going to read the last scripture. I didn't think the time was flying this fast.
2 Peter 1:1-4.
We are going to close with that one.
Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith and with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Listen now, that by these you might be partakers of divine nature. Amen. God has made promises. What makes you to become partaker of divine nature? It's a promise. God has made precious promises in the Bible. And the thing that will transform you to make you to become of a divine nature is a word of God of promise in the Bible. And that promise has the power to make you to become like God. Amen. A promise that I want to insist on that. We are talking about the children of a promise. And remember, there's a transforming power in the promise. When a word of God has been spoken and you believe in God and you see that word being fulfilled in your day and you believe it, there's a transforming power. That word, the prophet says, the word made flesh is the light of the hour. He says, I'm going to read it. So life is only by the word of God made manifest. Life comes only by the word of God made manifest. As long as it is just in the book like this, it still can be questioned. But when it's made manifest, then you see the product of what it spoke being manifested. So a promise of God, when it comes to life in your day, when it comes to manifestation, when you believe it, it's got in it the light. And that light is going to partake life to you. That's the only way you can come to life in the word of God, is by believing the promises of God. That's why the Bible says, Paul says, not all the children are counted as the seed, but the children of the promise. To be a seed of Abraham, Abraham believed the promises of God, and it made him to become partaker of divine nature. We are the children of the promise. And we must be, we must be partakers of divine nature if we accept the promises of God. And if we are born into the promises of God. Amen. We are going to stop there today. I hope I didn't confuse you, because myself, at the beginning, I didn't know what direction it's going to take. Thankfully, I had something to say for the 30 minutes, and I didn't stop. But I believe from this foundation, the Lord willing, we are going to see, because you need to be partakers of the adoption. We are called unto glory. And Paul said they failed to enter into the glory of God because They didn't see, they were not the children of promise. They failed to see the manifested promise of God in their day. So that's what we are going to try to build on by the grace of God, and hopefully it will help someone. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We believe, O Lord, that you wanted to express, to convey a message to your people this morning, O Lord. Though through our human mind, we didn't know exactly how you wanted it to be said, O Lord, but you came in on the scene, O Lord, and you spoke to your people, and we believe, O Lord, that you will let this word impact every life, O Lord. Now we commit the rest of this service into your hand. Bless us as we will sing, as we will shout, as we will pray, as we will worship, O Lord. May you really accept our offering, and may you really grant us the desire of our hearts. We commit everything into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.